From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. It'll be Emerging Artist Night tonight. Their website's linked up at coasttocoastam.com, so go take a look. Next hour, are UFOs demonic? And what about the secrets of Fatima? Brother Michael Diamond joins us. Stand by for that. Well, here I am, another year older. The year gets underway. Initial tests have confirmed that bean sprouts grown in northern Germany could be the likely cause of an E. coli outbreak that has now killed at least 22 people and sickened over 2,200 different kinds of sprouts from one organic farm between the northern cities of Hamburg and Hanover could be traced to infected persons in five different German states there. Many restaurants that suffered from an E. coli outbreak had those sprouts delivered. The farm was shut down on Sunday. All of its produce, including fresh herbs, fruits, flowers, and potatoes, all recalled. At least one of the farm's employees was also infected with the E. coli bacteria. We'll keep monitoring that story for you this week. Johns Hopkins Medical reports that the most commonly used oral drug to treat nail fungus, itraconazole, may keep prostate cancer from worsening and delay the need for chemotherapy in men with advanced prostate cancer. This is a major story because, as you know, a number of Coast to Coast guests have always said that they think cancer is a fungus. Now, this drug is used currently to treat fungal infections in nails and other organs. Serious side effects, though, can include heart failure, and experts from Johns Hopkins caution that the drug needs further study before it can be considered for prostate cancer treatment. The departure of Yemen's battle-wounded president for treatment in Saudi Arabia has set off wild street celebrations in the capital. Crowds danced, sang, and slaughtered cows in hopes that this spelled a victorious end to a more than three-month campaign to push their leader from power. Behind the festive atmosphere, many feared, though, that Ali Abdullah Saleh, a masterful political survivor who has held power there for nearly 33 years, will yet return, or simply leave the country in ruins if he can't. Hanging in the balance was a country that, even before the latest problem, was beset by deep poverty, malnutrition, tribal conflict, and violence by an active Al-Qaeda franchise with international reach. Greg Hunter, our investigator, he's with us now. Greg, what do you think about this situation here in Yemen now?
I think this was one of the most underreported stories of the day. I was reading the newspaper this morning, and I, you know, it has local section first and the national. And that lower corner is the Yemen story, and I thought, oh boy, they buried the lead. This Yemen is the place where several years ago the U.S. coal had a big hole blown in it. This has long been a hotbed and a stronghold, at least in the periphery, of Al-Qaeda. And, you know, several months back, I think last year, Saudi Arabia was bombing northern Yemen because they were afraid of protests getting out of control and people that they don't want to influence their country getting out of control. So Saleh leaving the country for a head wound. I mean, he was taken out because they were shooting at him. And he leaves to go to Saudi Arabia. Now he says his ministers say that he's coming back. It's only going to be a few days. His the ruling party spokesman for Saleh said that he is definitely coming back. But the problem for the United States is this is a country that borders the world's biggest oil producing country, and that's Saudi Arabia.
Well,
and
that's a good point.
Unrest in Yemen is problems for the entire world. Forget Egypt. Forget Algeria. Forget Libya. Yemen could be a touchstone for the problems that could be caused by Al-Qaeda.
Yemen, though, has been a haven for years for Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations, Greg. So what good has Saleh done for us?
Well, he did allow the FBI to come in after the coal to investigate the coal investigation. And but listen, it hasn't really been in the news a lot because he kind of kept a lid on it. This guy's an iron-fisted dictator who left the country because he got wounded in the head from being attacked. That's where this whole thing has stepped up a whole nother level. And that is, before there was unrest in the periphery, now they're attacking the president's palace. This is trouble for the U.S. This is trouble for the entire Middle East. It is a real wild card that could affect the entire globe in terms of oil production if Yemen goes rogue.
When does Assad in Syria go?
this is the Arab Spring, so who knows? By summer, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be helped out. That's they have a very big military in Syria. It won't be as easy to knock out if we do go into Libya. That's the talk now, that we're going to have boots on the ground in Libya. That's the rumor. And so who knows? It's a very, very fluid situation, and it's so destabilizing. I said this months ago, that this is this Arab Spring is like the fall of the Berlin Wall, and it could be the fall of the entire Soviet Union. I mean, the entire Middle East is going to be completely shaken up because of all this. Dictators are going to be out of power. Al-Qaeda and people like the Muslim Brotherhood are gaining power. This is trouble for the U.S., and it spells higher oil prices in the future.
What's new with USAWatchdog.com?
I'm doing a big post about gold and silver, how some people say it's topped out, and that's on the site right now. And I go through quote a lot of experts. A lot of good people know what they're talking about to say there's no way it's topped out. The Federal Reserve, I've said this before, I'll say it again, the one thing you can count on is inflation. That's what the Federal Reserve wants. But they're not getting inflation where they really want it. And where they really want it is in housing prices. And that's going the wrong way. But where they're getting inflation is where they don't want it. Oil, food. That's where they're getting inflation. But check out the site. Happy to be on, and thanks for calling me about the Yemen thing. I think it's a huge story.
It is. Nintendo's U.S.-based servers attacked several weeks ago, but no consumer data was stolen, according to the company. Nintendo now is the latest company to be targeted by cyber criminals in a hacking attack. In April, the hackers broke into Sony Corporation servers and exposed the personal information of more than 100 million of its customers. No group taking responsibility. Teenage girl in Germany who forgot to mark her birthday invitation as private on Facebook, fled her own party when more than 1,500 guests showed up, around 100 police officers as well, some on horses. They were needed to keep the crowd under control. Well, it looks like by Monday, the Canadian postal workers will strike the Montreal area. They're in a rotating postal strike area. They're not happy over wages and other issues, but that's the plan. A British hypnotist's subjects were temporarily left in a trance when he was knocked unconscious during a show. David Days was performing a hypnotism demonstration when he tripped over an audience member's leg and was knocked unconscious by the fall. When he fell, Days was in the process of bringing three volunteers from the audience out of a hypnotic trance. Well, the audience members initially believed the fall was part of the act, and they were jumping and applauding. But then they were told to clear the theater while the three volunteers on stage remained trapped in a trance. Days recovered consciousness within a few minutes and was able to bring the three audience members back to consciousness. That's kind of scary, isn't it? Where did our heritage go? What's happening to all of us? In a moment, we'll talk with Richard DeWolf on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. This will be a fascinating hour for you. At the age of 33, Richard DeWolf had what is called a walk-in experience, and Richard became involved with transcendental meditation practices that consisted of using a mantra. Over time, he learned many types of healing situations and breathing exercises, eventually developing his own way of channeling the life force energy. After being invited to speak at a Native American Star Family reunion conference, he was so enthralled with their heritage that he now researches and writes about the subject for all of us with Where Did Our Heritage Go? Here he is on Coast to Coast, Richard DeWolf. Richard, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, George.
Now, tell me a little bit about the Native American work you did in your book and then how you have kind of moved it into something even more broader than that.
Well, about February of last year, these five Chippewa light beings came to me and told me that I need to meet various chiefs, and I had a message to give them. Well, I didn't know who these chiefs were or where they were, how I go about finding them. And my wife suggested that I just can't just go into a reservation and start asking people about where are the elders and where's the chief. So during that time, a friend of mine who's a Navajo got a message saying he needed to go up to the Four Corners Vortex and investigate an area up there. And that area up there, I got information on in 2004, in which there's a vortex there that it's supposed to open November 11th of this year, and it opens every 36,000 years.
11, 11, 11. Tell me about these Four Corners Vortex, Richard. What are they exactly?
It's a vortex of energy that opens every 36,000 years, and it corresponds with the planet getting closer to the central sun. And what it's supposed to do is to stabilize the planet as we approach that area so that and no cataclysmic events will happen. In the past, it's happened because the planet didn't exactly line up correctly. But this time, it was supposed to be a perfect fit, and that when this event happens, so it will keep the planet from any kind of polar shift that may occur. And we went up to it, and we found it, and on the way we did meet some Native Americans and a Ute Native American and a Navajo Native American, and the one the Ute knew about this vortex and knew about it was going to open. He says, "Well, I'll see you there because the time we had was very short because it was on Palm Sunday."
And okay, sure.
When I got back, I got invited to speak at the Star Family reunion up in Farmington. And I was able to give my message to the Native American chief. And I guess you want to know what the message was.
That was going to be my next question, Richard.
Basically, it was that it's their responsibility is to clean up the reservations, the energy in the reservations regarding, as you know, they have a high suicide rate, alcoholism,
sure,
unworthiness, prejudice, it's very strong, the prejudice especially against the white man, and you can understand why. And so when I spoke to them, I said, there is not much time in which this should be accomplished. I was told them that it should be accomplished before November 11th, because at that time, we will reach a point of no return. We can't return to the past karma. And with this event happening, of course, I told this one chief who organized this conference that because it's a big endeavor, that I would give 10% of royalties of this book to them to help clean up the reservation.
Well, good for you. Now let me ask you about the vortex, first of all. Where exactly is it?
Well, it's near where the monument is. There's a monument up there.
Where?
Where the four corners of the four states meet, right there.
Give me the states.
Utah, Colorado, Arizona, right there, right?
Okay, all right, that's better. I need you to pinpoint that for us.
And there's a monument there, but actually the monument was closed when we went up there. So we climbed over the fence to a pasture and just walked around, and all of us heard this flute music. And it was very strange, and somebody thought it was coming from somebody at the closed monument, but there was nobody there, and I just kept on getting it came from an ancestor. But I had this confirmed later on. So this vortex will open.
And is this a physical opening, Richard, or is this more of a spiritual opening?
Well, it's going to be both. It's what will happen, the vortex will open, and at the same time, I don't know if you heard about another grid is going to open at be ignited at the same day.
This 11-11 period?
Right. In fact, I've been communicating with Shelley Yates about it, and she got that information last year sometime. The grid is supposed to open around geometric time, DMT, Greenwich Mean Time. And, well, the vortex is supposed to open up Mountain Standard Time, I was told, in 2004.
When this vortex opens, could someone theoretically stumble into it? And if they did, what would happen to them?
No, it's an energy vortex, and it'll open, and it'll expand wider and wider and encompass miles of area.
Okay, and then eventually it closes again?
It won't close until the planet past any kind of probable event that might happen during the time. I think it will probably stay up until at least a couple, maybe a year or two. because, of course, you know, that the planet Nibiru is supposed to make a visit sometime in the next couple of years.
Well, that's what they say, this planet X, wherever it may be.
Right. And
well, this vortex, is it like a protection for us?
What it does is enables the energy coming through the planet. Very intense energy is coming through, and it's been coming through for a long time, for years, but it's going to be increasing daily. And the purpose of this energy coming into the planet is to raise our vibration so that, and to help us to release the negativity that we're carrying. But mostly it's for the planet. We're just living on the planet. The planet is a living being. And what it will do will enable the planet to release some bottled up energy, negativity that's been there for eons of time. And through that release, it enters that area and goes down to the Earth and out the Indian Ocean and then back to source. So that'll enable the planet to become clearer, you might say, maybe raise in frequency. And depending on the frequency, there will be a frequency jump at that time, both the planet and the people. But that will depend on a total collective consciousness of us at that time.
Why the date, Richard, 11-11-11? Why the date?
Why did what?
Why the date, 11-11-11? Why is that so significant?
That was the date that was given to me, and that was the date that was given to Shelley Yates. It was, these light beings gave us that date. There is, you know, there is a significance about the numbers 11-11, but those are the numbers that was given to me, and I guess it is significant in a way, because, as you know, October 28th is a new era in, with a Mayan calendar, and so this opening is actually going to be it's like a doorway into another dimension. It will enable people who are ready to ascend to a higher frequency to do that. Not everybody's going to go at the same time, because ascension is an individual process, not a all group thing where everybody just goes at a certain date.
And is this, Richard, is this a good thing with this vortex that opens?
It's a very good thing. It will stabilize the planet so that there will be no pole shift, you know.
All right, without it, what would happen? Catastrophes, plagues, everything?
Nothing is written in stone. Without it, it could possibly be some earth changes might happen that more intense. And it's done this every year. If you study, you had Zachary Sitchin on your show, and he talked about cycles, and he talked about reoccurrence of Nibiru every 3,600 years. Well, this is just another cycle. And this vortex has been there for 3 million years.
Can it be registered? Can science discover it?
That's a very interesting question. I'm not sure that the answer might be. I think it's very possible, because it is a shift of energy. And it probably could be registered. It probably will be felt. In the surrounding areas, it will expand. I can see it expanding miles and miles around. And it definitely will change. The people around there will definitely know it, who's in the immediate area, mostly Native Americans. They're in that area.
And, now, are there other locations or just this one's corner?
Well, there's other vortexes on the planet, but this one is one of the main ones, because it's happening for so long. It's happening for 3 million years. Every 26,000 years, it's open for allow the planet to stabilize during those times, because when it was first put there, 3 million years ago. That was when the planet was still in a fifth dimension and only all the continents were together in one mass.
Well, at least somebody did that for us. Thank you so much. Richard's book, by the way, Where Did Our Heritage Go?, where he says on 11-11-11, we'll be broadcasting that night, this vortex is going to open up and possibly save the planet. When I come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, we are going to have open lines for you. Let me give you the numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller, 818 501-4721. And the wild card line is 818-501-4109. Open lines in a moment. Next hour, Brother Michael Diamond joins us. We'll talk about demonic UFOs and also secrets of Fatima. And when I come back, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM, it's Open Lines. Little program note for you. Jesse Ventura was coming back on Coast to Coast on our Monday night show for a couple hours. He had to reschedule, so we're going to put in a different program for you. Jesse will come back at a later date once his conflict gets resolved, and we will chat with him more about some of the things he has been working on. So those of you who were all excited about Jesse coming on the program, that's going to be pushed off a little bit. And, of course, he was on with me about a month or so ago. We'll do it again. Let's go to the phones. Orlando, Florida we go. Bob, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good evening.
Yes.
So I ask you, are you going to have the numbers lady on November 11th?
Of course.
I know why. The other part is I know why it's special, too. It's also, that'll be my birthday.
Well, happy birthday. A pre-birthday there. That's a beautiful date.
I'm kind of curious what's going to happen.
Well, that's a good question. I think it's going to be good stuff. You know, 11-11-11, it's got to be good.
It's going to be interesting, at least.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. What are you going to do on your birthday, then? It's a few months away.
Probably just work. Just like I'm doing the same thing right now. That's... I work at security.
Same with
you every night.
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Hey, later.
All right. Next up, let's go to Crystal in San Antonio, Texas. First-time caller. Hello, Crystal.
Hello, George. Happy belated birthday.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I was listening to you on your birthday program, and you told a story about how you got cut by glass on your arm and your mom cured it with coffee.
When I was a little boy, yeah.
Yeah, and I just thought that was very interesting because I went on vacation to Mexico, and it was like top of snake season, or I don't know what, but there were so many people and animals being bitten by rattlesnakes, and one man's bull and a huge bull, mind you, was bitten by a rattlesnake and was on the verge of dying. And the man just put all this coffee on him, and nothing happened. He never died. And a rattlesnake bite is fatal, isn't it?
That's amazing. Yeah, well, it depends on rattlesnake. Sure, absolutely. Their venom will do you in.
Yeah, and a young man also was bitten by a rattlesnake, too. And it's just crazy how the earth gives you everything that you need, and all the cures are available, and you just have to be found, you know?
Crystal, you are so right. I have said this all my life, that almost every ailment we find on this planet, there seems to be some kind of remedy on the planet once you find it. It's remarkable.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, thanks. Something I got to check into the coffee, though. Yeah, this was a story. There's a little boy. I'll just tell you it real briefly again. I had a little aquarium, and I had a hamster in it. I mean, I had hamsters that lived in cages, but when I transported the little guys around and took them to my friend's house and stuff like that, I would put them in this little tiny fish bowl, and I was running with this, and I hit part of the sidewalk, which was elevated a little higher than the rest, and down I went, and the bowl smashed. Little hamster was okay, but a shard of glass stuck into my arm, and I still have the scar here, but this thing was about 2 inches long and about a half an inch to an inch wide, and I pulled it out, and my mom packed it with coffee, and she said it'll stop the bleeding, and it'll stop any infection, and she was right. This thing healed up pretty rapidly, but I've never checked into what is in the coffee that does that, so I'm going to have to do a little search online. Next up, let's go to Greg driving in California, when you can still drive in California. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hey, George, how are you?
Good.
Very good, thank you. Well, I'm just returning from the Conspiracy Con 2011.
How did that go?
Oh, my goodness, absolutely amazing. I highly recommend all your listeners to really make the journey, beg, borrow, steal, whatever, get there and have to experience this event.
Good people. He had some great speakers. Brian Hall had just loaded it with some great people.
Jose Escamilla, Barbara Honinger, Lauren Murray, Anthony Hilder, and Doc Marquis. Just incredible information about 9/11, who is behind it, the Illuminati, the radiation fallout from Fukushima. It's just been fascinating.
Did you notice Dr. Len Horowitz there? Because he thought that he could get bumped off while he was at that conference. And so they loaded it with more security, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, so Len Horowitz was there, and his speech was absolutely fascinating.
And he's okay. Nobody attacked him, right?
Exactly. He was absolutely fine. The audience was very respectful, and everyone just kind of exchanged info, and it was a really great time had by all.
Okay, great. Conspiracy con. Tommy sends me a note about rattlesnakes. He says, of course, George, they're one of the most feared reptiles slithering the planet, but people have a greater risk of dying from bee stings or lightning strikes. How about that? Well, you know, people do have bee allergies. I got stung by a bee once. A wasp probably went under my pant leg. How in the heck he got in there is beyond me, but I'm telling you, I felt like someone had shot me from a nearby roof. I mean, this thing was just knife cutting. And I looked down at my pant leg and I saw it kind of like moving. And it was in there. I figured out it was a wasp in there. So I grabbed it and crushed him. But the stinger, of course, was still in the old leg. I mean, that it does hurt. It burns, really burns. You ever been bitten, Jason? By a, you are. See, you could go. You get hit one. Have you ever been stung? Thank God. He's allergic to bees. Shelley, Newport, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Welcome to the program. Hi, Shelley.
Hello, George. George, I have felt so bad all weekend, and even going to Mass didn't help.
Why?
Maybe this sounds crazy, but I wondered what kind of emails you might have gotten from this guest you had last week.
Which one? I had
some. Well, it was the one that was hard of hearing. I don't remember his name.
Oh, the old guy, Dr. Jack Pruitt.
Yeah. It just seems like when he started on Jesus, something just went nuts.
Well, you know, I agree. I loved his theories because they were very much like Zechariah Sitchin's until he said the devil was nicer than Jesus. And that's when I went, oh, no, Jack, don't do it.
Well, no, he said that Jesus was like the nephew of the devil.
Yeah, well, yeah, he was putting him in that category.
And nobody that called in, because you expected some pretty harsh calls.
Yeah, we didn't get any attacks on him.
You probably will on Brother Diamond tonight, and he's like the other extreme.
We might.
I can probably handle him, but this guy, I don't know. I mean, he said that these Anunnaki, he started to say they were the fallen angels. And, you know, where did they get this planet? And if these, I'm not a big fan of Sitchin, although I do believe we've been visited by ancient astronauts. But I feel that God is the Father, and he created us. And every time they say these people created us, it's just very upsetting.
I know that. You know, here's the other important thing.
He doesn't care about us.
Whether you agree with them or I don't agree with them or you don't, we still have the right to give them an opportunity to talk. I don't think we can muffle people.
Well, no, I don't mean that. But what I was hoping that maybe you might talk a little about some of the emails, because I imagine you got some pretty upset emails.
I got a few, but I got a few from people that liked him. You know, it was
pretty
balanced. Oh, I don't
care if somebody liked him. I didn't. I just thought he was so way out. And here's the thing. The tablets ended a long time before Jesus came on the scene. Nowhere in the world did he get this information. But I wish that maybe, if you could see what you can do, maybe get a guest that'll help to balance this out a little bit.
Have you heard of Benjamin Krem, by the way?
You know, I was thinking of that. Yes.
He's got a new workout. I think he wants to come back on. But
you have to hear this. When he was first on, it was so long ago.
And people got sick, remember?
Well, no, wait a minute. I do remember, but here's what happened to me, and it was completely different. I don't know if he was on with you or Art. It was so long ago. But he came on, I remember he was a very old Scottish man.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, you know, Scottish accents. But for some reason, I was listening, and I could understand his words, but it was just like a fog. Nothing was sinking in at all. I just thought, I don't know what this guy is talking about. I feel like I'm falling asleep. And, you know, I just tuned him out. I didn't get anything out of him. And then I heard about all the calls about things happening to people. And I talked to a friend who's pretty psychic. As a matter of fact, he has the same voice patterns as Inga Swan.
Okay.
And he said, I think you were not even meant to hear what this guy was saying, because I don't remember him saying anything evil. But this guy, I'm telling you, upset me so much that maybe you might think of some guest who could pull the stinger out a little bit. I've been stung by a wasp, too, and it's terrible.
It is not good. Not good. Thanks, Shelley. Next up, let's go to Gary in Arizona. Welcome to the program. Hey, Gary, thanks for calling.
Hey, George, how you doing?
Good. Buddy?
Well, God bless you, man. We're faithful listeners of you on Coast. And
thank you.
Doing an awesome job, brother.
Thank you very much. What's going on?
I want to share something with you. I've been tracking Nibiru, Planet X, for quite a while now, my son and I, JR, on Microsoft. They still show Planet X on there. Google's black boxed it out.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Google has put a big black box where Nibiru should be if you look for it. They blacked it out, basically censored it. So what we've been doing, George, in Mesa, Arizona here, at about 6:15 at night every night, I use a pair of sunglasses, put it up in front of my cell phone camera lens, and I snap shots of the sun, and I'm coming up with incredible pictures of Planet X. I mean, full shots of it with the wings and the whole nine yards. And
so whereabouts near the sun is it right now?
It's 6:30 this evening when I first took it. It was at about the 1 o'clock position, about 2 feet above the sun, you know, in retrospect, you know, on a picture.
Does it look like a small dot, or is it pretty big?
It's about a quarter inch diameter on the picture, and with the red flame wings on it. And 5 minutes later, I took another picture of it, and it was at the 11 o'clock position above the sun, you know, because the elliptical orbit of the thing is so fast. It's just amazing.
Text, email it to me if you can.
I sent them to you this evening.
Okay.
The picture's over. And the key is, though, put a pair of sunglasses up in front of your camera and take a picture of the sun, and that's how you're going to get these pictures, because it's shielding the sun enough to be able to get some amazing photos of it.
How far away, if you had to estimate how far away it was from the sun, how many millions of miles? And I assume it's on the other side, right?
What it's doing is, I got a picture of it at 6:10 tonight, coming up from the back side of the sun, if you got me, okay?
Right.
Appearing from behind the sun, then it's coming up above the sun at about the 1 o'clock position at about 6:20 tonight, and then it's moving to the left at about the 11 o'clock position within 5 minutes. So it's coming up from behind the sun and then going from right to left and then going back under the sun, you know, at sunset.
Okay, we will do that. And I'm going to look forward to that email, and I'll get it up to our webmasters, and with your permission, if they think it'll fit, we'll post it. Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Sal, it's your turn on Coast to Coast.
Hey, I think your last call may be seeing something that I'm seeing. I bought this telescope, and it came with the software, a CD that you can actually run and see where the stars are and the planets on any particular night. The only thing is, the software will go, you know, thousands of years in the future and thousands of years in the past. And on June 13th of this month, June 13th, there is a planetary alignment where if you look outside at night, you're going to see about six planets in a forming a straight line.
Bang, bang, bang,
With the sun. And when I ran the software, the last time this happened was about the birth of Christ, about that time. George, you're the only one who I know has the resources out there and the contacts who may know more about what's going on June 13th than I do, just with my amateur telescope and software.
All right, we'll check that next week. Here we go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm scared, man.
All right, we will check into that. Let's go to Ted, driving in Oregon on the wild card line. Hey, Ted, go for it.
Hi, George. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, loud and clear.
Okay, great. I really enjoy your program, George. It's always interesting. You never know, you know, what kinds of things are going to come up.
And I don't even know what's going to come up half the time.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm firmly in the camp of David Jacobs. When you had your speaker on Thursday night about the lady talking about the hybrid,
yes,
cross between humans and aliens. One thing that the lady failed to mention is that she didn't mention any issue about what if these aliens are lying to us. For example, the Orions refer to humans as containers, and they often on their ships will have a lot of human abductions occur, and they're called the regressives, and they actually feed off negativity. And I've heard stories where these aliens, for example, swim in pools of human blood in order to gain nutrients and get their own kicks. And I've read, too, that they need us. We don't need them. Their own species is dying as a result of nuclear war on their own planet. And they've been doing this crossbreeding in order to extend their longevity. And I think the danger is the long-term genetic experiment's danger is that eventually they could take over the planet.
Well, I agree with you. I don't think every alien race is friendly.
No. Mm-hmm.
They've got their own agenda. They're out to do whatever they want to do. And though most of them hopefully may be good, very benevolent, I don't think all of them are. Anchorage, Alaska, we go west of the Rockies. Hey, Clint, good morning to you.
Good morning, George.
Hi.
It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you.
I have something that can help everybody out there on this E. coli.
Yeah.
You can take and get 2 spray bottles and take hydrogen peroxide and put in one, and distilled vinegar in the other, and you spray your vegetables or your meats and stuff with this, and you let it sit for a couple minutes, and it will kill every type of E. coli. I use it on my bearded dragons
Do you taste it at all afterward?
No, because you rinse it off.
Okay.
You let it sit for a few minutes, and then you rinse that off. But you have to use 2 different spray bottles.
Okay, we'll check into that. Dr. Robin Falco, who's working on a program with us on the Gulf spill, sent me an email last week after that program when we were talking about the E. coli situation in Germany. And she is investigating some little machinery that would turn the water, just typical tap water, into a much cleaner bacterial killer machine. And that might be worth it. Maybe every house should have something like that just to be on the safe side. Rod in Urbana, Illinois. Let's try to squeeze you in with about a minute or so, Rod. Go ahead.
Thanks, George.
Sure.
I always listen to you on WLS.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to be in Chicago next Saturday, by the way, if you're around. Come on out. Go to my website and look at the calendar event.
Got it. Thank you, George.
Uh-huh.
Hey, I've got a long list of things I study, including Bigfoot, which I have video of.
I got to see it.
I sent it to you, emailed it to you yesterday. Please
okay.
Check that.
I will.
Make sure you've got it. If not, I'll try again. I'm not sure whether it actually gets through.
All right, do another one just to be on the safe side.
Sure.
Okay.
And I've got also a long list of things down the line, 2012, UFOs, ET. I've had some out-of-body experiences, death, near-death, and stuff, and when I came back from my out-of-death experience, George, I now see things differently. I've seen different dimensions up through the 11th I've been taken through.
Well, you're tuned in.
Some people say. I've met a lot of people just after they meet me. All of a sudden, they keep saying that they keep seeing things differently after I speak to them.
All right. Hey, definitely send me the video. We're at the top of the hour. Dr. Brother Michael Diamond is sitting in the corner, ready to come onto the program. So we'll be getting him in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM.